We started a new little series last week called Sit Rep. And as Team Jesus, we started this new series called Sit Rep, and it's from my military days, and many of you are in the military as well, called Situation Report. And a sit rep is something you get every day. You give it to your commanding officer, the command staff, to understand the situation that you find yourselves in. So the commanding officer can have all the information before him or her, and they can make the proper decision encountering the enemy. And last week we started this sit rep situation we find ourselves in as the church in our modern day. And we looked at the environment that we are called to operate in, to function as a church. It's a lost, fallen world in rebellion. We all should know it well because we used to be out there ourselves. Also part of this environment is churches that have become compromised, apathetic to the condition of the world, to the great commission of our church, to find that which is lost and bring them the gospel so they too can have Jesus Christ. That's the environment we find ourselves in, a world that's just spiraling out of control and a church that is apathetic or compromised. We looked at the conditions that we're going to operate under, and we looked at just basically one primary condition, and that condition is the most scary. God is angry. We looked at God is angry with the wicked every day. The wrath of God abides on the wicked. But He is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. But sooner or later, God's grace ends. His anger and justice fall. And we've seen through the Old Testament, always giving people time to repent and come out before judgment, and then judgment falls on those who refuse to repent. We understand that God is angry with the world right now, and judgment is coming. Our mission is to go out and make disciples, to take the gospel, to teach, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ who do not grow weary in doing good. Can't lose heart. So that's what we looked at last week. This week we're going to delve into the enemy. Recon or reconnaissance of the enemy. What is the enemy up to? And then our intelligent assessment on the enemy and what we need to do. So let's look at the enemy and the recon of the enemy. What he's up to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. There is a lawless one coming. We know him as the Antichrist, the man of son of perdition, the man of sin, the lawless one. One is according to the working of Satan. Satan, the devil, is real. It's not myth. It's not a symbol of evil. He is a real being. The spiritual realm is as real as the physical realm. And Satan is out there bringing about his plans. The plans he has to be worshipped. The plans he started to have way back and recorded in the book of Isaiah, where he will be like the Most High, where he'll be worshipped by humanity instead of God. He is working this plan, this lawless one that is coming. The Bible and God's foreknowledge has foretold us that there's a man coming who will become the ruler of the world, the Antichrist, the beast, and that he will create a one-world government. This is the enemy we face. Satan and his plans to bring about a one-world government under the Antichrist. And it's going to be done with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. And there's the key word. Deception is the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false. To believe a lie. Now, I find it quite amazing when I look back at my pre-Jesus self, all the deception I believed, all the lies I believed that were true, that I thought were true. I mean, I literally believe things that I look back now and go, how did I ever believe that? But that's what sin, that's what darkness, that's what deception does to us as human beings. We think we know the truth, we think we believe in something that's real, and it's not. It's a deception. And that's what he does so well, is deceive us. And today, there's more deception than any other time I can think of in life. Next slide there, Gordon. This is just some of them. Some of the deception out there that's getting people to not believe in God, getting people to do their own thing, to put themselves first. It's all about them. You have from the anarchist movement to the communism, Marxism, the socialism, to critical race theory, the lawlessness, getting rid of the judicial system, the gender dysphoria and confusion of men and women and being multiple genders, climate change and sexual deviancy, and just the deception is everywhere you look. On almost every level, on almost every subject you can come up with. Insane ideologies, depravity. And what's so evil about this is that it's not just going after adults. Today it is supercharged to go after the youth. A war on children. A war on families. The gospel. The word. Children are a primary target for deception. When you start looking out there over the internet and everything that we have today, all the great technologies we all have that make life convenient, you don't realize how much the enemy is using this stuff to deceive and to confuse people, especially children. This is what the enemy is doing. It's what he's all about. We've looked at this in other sermon series. Next slide. The plan of Satan from the very beginning was to cause the fall of humanity. He couldn't be God. God kicked him out. The rebellion didn't work. So Satan comes down and he gets God's creation to rebel against him. We've talked about this and his attempt to get humanity to reject what God has told them to do and to create a one world government. The first attempt was the tower, where God had to come down and confuse them. Satan has always been about turning humanity away from God and turning it to him. His great plan, God has foretold us in the book of Revelation, that Revelation 13, where his lawless one that he's going to bring is going to rule the world as the Antichrist in a one world government. Satan's plan is Revelation 13. We've talked about this on multiple occasions. And we've also talked about the globalist elite's plan. They also want to create a one-world government. They also want to create this utopia where they're in charge. Now, they're actually, when you look at their plans, they're actually fulfilling Satan's plan. Whether they know that or not is uncertain. But many people see this great reset that they want to do, this Agenda 2030. Everything they describe that to be is Revelation chapter 13, this one world government. And like I said, I've talked about this on multiple occasions. The next slide is that Great Reset plan. And you see how detailed the plan is. And what's so sneaky about this plan is that they sneak in something, and next slide, they sneak in that global governance. You see it? That's just one aspect of it. But global governments means they have to get rid of national governments, national identity. Everyone's going to be under one ruler, one government. That's Revelation 13. So we've talked about this on multiple occasions. Some of my videos have been banned from YouTube because of this subject. But here's what I want to show you today on the enemy. Next slide. There is a summit coming up later this year. May 23rd, this letter went out. I have the letter printed out right here. It's several pages from the World Economic Forum to the United Nations about finishing, making sure we finish this Agenda 2030. And they're marking that they have 7 years to accomplish everything they want to accomplish. 7 years to get global governance. And this letter is hey, we gotta double down on our efforts. We have to really get this done. We only have 7 years to bring about this utopia. I find it fascinating. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Why is it 7 years? Why isn't it 8? 10? It just happens to be 7 years, and the Bible has told us there will be a 7-year period where man is trying to undo God and have their own government, worldwide government. Is it the same period of time we're talking about? It's possible. Maybe just a coincidence that they have 7 years left. But there are some pastors and Bible teachers that believe that God could easily have planned the 7-year tribulation period based on what man was attempting to do. Man's attempting to bring about their own humanistic, atheistic utopia, where man is God. They're trying to use this, and he'll use that same period of time, what they're doing, to bring about his plan and topple the one world government. Is the 7-year tribulation running in par with the Great Reset, Agenda 2030? Maybe, maybe not. We're just going to have to wait and see. But there are some who believe it does. And a lot of what they want fits with what the Bible describes as that period of time. But here's what they're doing. This September, they want to mark their efforts. They want to have a starting point where they're going to commit all the nations of the United Nations. There's 193. Want to commit to bringing 2030, Agenda 2030, to reality. So they're having a big meeting on April 18th and 19th this September. Here's the Deputy Secretary General letter from the UN. I printed it out. It's online. Where he talks about, we're going to come together. We're going to get this done. Now, I don't think the United Nations has ever been able to do anything, but they're really focused on this. So they're going to come together and have one final meeting, September 18th and 19th. And then, 2 days later, they want to have this, International Day of Peace. How they are describing this is that all 193 countries of the United Nations, in order of establishing their efforts for the next 7 years to accomplish this, they're going to declare, they're going to declare, it's kind of fuzzy the way they're saying it, world peace. Now, some of these pastors and Bible teachers I've heard think that this day of peace, this declaration of world peace, is what Daniel describes as the covenant with many that brings about the peace treaty of the end times. Daniel 9, chapter 27. We've talked this passage before as well. Then he, this is in context, is talking about the Antichrist, the prince to come. And he shall confirm a covenant with many, not just Israel, even though Israel's seven-year peace treaty is definitely described in Scripture. But he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. We've talked about this passage. 1 week is like what we say is a decade. That means 10 years. Here a week is 7 years. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Many are saying that that's what this September 21st declaration is. The marking of 7 years of peace so they can bring about their Agenda 2030. So if you go to the next slide, here's what we got, according to these individuals I've heard. You got Satan's plan, the global elite's plan. We're in the present church age. The church age ends with the rapture of the church. Sometime after the rapture of the church, there is a peace treaty. And that begins the seven-year tribulation period of the book of Revelation. And many say that this tribulation period fits with what the Bible describes, as the Bible describes how they describe their Great Reset and their Agenda 2030 matches the Bible. Next slide, Gordon. All right, so let's take this part right here. We know this part is accurate according to the Bible, right? Now, what these individuals are saying today, that the enemy is moving forward and is going to make this happen, this peace treaty, this declaration of peace, is going to happen on September 21st. Okay? Now, today is August 6th. Now, the Bible teaches the rapture before the tribulation period, before the peace treaty that begins the tribulation period. So if this, let's just say these guys are accurate. They're correct in this. And I don't believe they are. And I'll talk a little more about that here in a second. But let's just say they are accurate here. September 21st of this year, the United Nations is going to make a covenant with many when they declare, 193 nations declare world peace. And today is August 6th. The rapture happens between, has to happen between now and the 21st, which somewhere in there, the rapture has to take place. The Bible says we don't know the day or the hour, but doesn't say you won't know the ballpark figure, the timing, somewhere in there. So, if they're correct, that leaves us how many days? 45 days. I've read everything they've written on this subject. There's a few more prophecies that they say are taking place I didn't have time to go into this morning. I've listened to these guys' teachings and what they're saying. Do I believe they are correct in this? No. I don't believe they are correct. I don't believe that what is going to happen on the 21st matches what is described in Daniel 9, verse 27. However, let me be very clear. The rapture can happen at any time for the church. There's nothing in the Bible that says that still needs to happen for the rapture. No, we're clear. We're ready. And we don't know if the rapture happens right at the beginning of the tribulation period like you see in the movies, or it could be years before the tribulation period. The Bible doesn't give us the timeline. But the rapture can happen at any time. That's why Paul said, always be ready, looking. It's ready to go. But for the sake of my point this morning, and I'm going to make it quick, but for the sake of what I want us to really get from this, what if they are correct? What if this is true? We got 45 days. And again, I don't believe they are correct, but let's just say they are. We have 45 days, folks. Let me ask you. If we only had 45 days, would anything change if you knew that in less than 45 days, you would be standing before Jesus Christ? Would anything change in your life? Would anything change in your faith if you knew you only had 45 days? If anything would change, if you were to say, oh, 45 days, boy, I better go share gospel. I got loved ones. I've been putting off talking to them. I better start reading my Bible. Oh, I better. If you really knew you only had 45 days and things would change in your faith, change in your life, because you only have 45 days. If things were change in you, that is a sign right now, that is a flag for you, that you are not living as you should as a believer. I know that's kind of harsh. Well, everyone would change. Oh, 45 days. We should be as focused and active in sharing our faith if we had 45 days compared if we have 45 years. We should be living the same. We should always be living with the urgency of sharing the gospel, of reaching people, praying for people, talking to people. Christ warned us very clear about being a faithful, active servant compared to one who's not faithful. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect. Verse 45, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he'll make him ruler over all his goods. Doing means serving the master. And we've been called to be servants of Jesus Christ. We are not just, it's not about just doing good. It's about living it. It's about, and we do good because Christ has done good for us, right? We do good not to earn his favor. We've already received that. We already have the good. We've been saved. He died for us. And because of that, we are doing what he called us to do. We are obedient. We are the faithful church. We are the church that's seeking to make disciples, to evangelize a lost world. That's how we're supposed to be living. That should never change. Whether we have 45 days or we have 45 years to go. Whatever time we have, this is what we're supposed to be like. Verse 48. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, Jesus is very clear of those who are truly his. True servants of Jesus Christ, those who are truly his, will serve him. They'll be faithful because he has come into our lives. His Spirit has come into our lives. And the sanctification process is supposed to be taking place. And we are faithful. We're obedient. Trademark of a true believer. We take any and every opportunity we can. Work, school, play, whatever we're doing, we're always thinking about trying to share with somebody, reach somebody, show Christ. Everything we do, it's just our mindset. We're disciples. We're believers. We have to show Christ. And when we have those opportunities, we share Christ. But those who get caught up in the ways of the world, those who say, hey, I'm not worried about Jesus returning. Oh, I don't really believe that. Scoffers and people who call themselves believers, but they're not concerned with serving him. They're pointing themselves out to be hypocrites. That's why he points them their portion with the other hypocrites. Next slide, man. Again, I do not believe this to be accurate. Could I be wrong? Yeah. Do I hope I'm wrong? Oh, yeah. I'm ready to go. I don't know about you. The enemy is definitely on the move. All fronts. The enemy is working. He wants to bring about a one world order. The Bible has foretold it for thousands of years. Last thing, SITREP, intel assessment. We know who the enemy is. We've reconned what he's trying to do. Maybe we've seen his plans. What's our intelligent, what's our final assessment? Peter puts it this way. 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Folks, the Bible has told us these things are going to take place. There's going to be a generation of the church that is the last generation of the church. There's going to be a time when people will fall away from the church, and the faithful church that stands there will not be strong, will not be big, but they'll continue to have to be faithful. The whole world's going to fall into great deception, but the church still has a role to play. He's going to remind us of what's going to take place. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Come on! For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And even we can get like this as the church. We believe the rapture, it's in the Bible, but we don't really believe it's going to happen anytime soon. Remember, he said he's going to come at an hour when we least expect. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, in the water by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water. We've talked about the flood. We've talked about all the evidence we have. There was a worldwide flood because God judged sin. God brought a worldwide judgment. And he says he's going to do it again. If we can prove he did it once, then you can probably trust him that he's going to do it a second time. Verse 7. But the heavens were and earth were now, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, after the flood, preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. God said, I won't destroy it a second time by water. No, the second time is going to be by fire. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. It's not on our time schedule. He's on His time schedule. The Lord is not slack, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient towards us, not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone to perish. Nobody. But all should come to repentance. That's our job. To go out there and share with all those people. Repent. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. How will they believe in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear if someone doesn't proclaim it? And how can they proclaim it until they are sent, until they go out? That's us. And why do we want to go out? Because we know this is coming. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come, the 7-year period will come. The tribulation period will come. The final judgment will come. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Everything people are trying to accomplish is going to be gone. You won Super Bowls? Who cares? That ring of yours is going to burn up. Oh, you have buildings with your name on it? It doesn't matter. They're going to be burned up. Oh, you got a great big bank account? It doesn't matter. It's going to burn up. Oh, you got nice clothes and fancy car? It doesn't matter. It's going to burn up. We have to live a life. I understand. But are you dedicating more of your life to your comforts or to the gospel? Are you more about your plans and what you want to do or your Lord and Savior? Are you the faithful servant who will be found doing as salt and light as God called us to be? Or are you going to be more like the unfaithful servant who says, he's not coming back any soon. I'm going to do my own thing. The earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11, therefore, since the world is going to burn up, that's the end of it. Since all these things will be dissolved, they're going to be so burned up that they're going to dissolve into nothing. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. What kind of person should we be? I think we should be faithful disciples. I think we should be together as a team, encouraging one another, stirring one another up, helping one another, and let's get the job done of sharing the gospel with whoever will listen. Sit rep. Come on up, team. Today we've looked at the enemy. The enemy is Satan. He's bringing a lawless one. He's using the global elites to bring about his plan. We see it. We've been watching it for the last 3 years. Now, is the enemy's plan, the Great Reset, the Agenda 2030, is that the tribulation period? You know what? It's gonna need to be about 6 more months to find out. It may be, it may not be. But it doesn't matter. That agenda, that global governance, it will happen sooner or later. It may be much later, or it may be sooner than we think. The enemy is on the move. Our understanding, our intelligence, our recon of the enemy, it's out there for all to see. And the Bible has declared it. We can definitely believe what the Bible says about it. And when what the Bible says about it, we see it on the news headlines. The enemy is real and he's on the move. Our intel assessment, it's a done deal. It's going to happen. Are we going to do what we've been called to do? In the midst of all this stuff happening, are we going to be declaring to people, come out. Don't be deceived any longer. Come to the one who loves you and died for you. So that's what we've looked at today, our intel on the enemy. Next week, I'm going to finish up this sit rep with counteroffensive and our mission endgame. It'll be really good, so I encourage you to come back. Here's where I want to end. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We see very clearly from Scripture that the end times is going to be really bad. That 7-year period is going to destroy. God's going to bring judgment. And it's not good. We don't have to fear it. But we do need to warn people about it. But for those who are found in Christ, it doesn't matter that the world is going to burn up, because he says, I got a new heaven and a new earth. All the great plans that we've talked about before. As I close, you know, is this going to cause the rapture in the next 45 days? I would love to think it. That'd be great. Again, I don't believe they're correct, but I could be wrong. But we do know the rapture will take place sooner or later. And when he comes for us, or when you breathe your last, are you going to breathe your last, or are you going to be taken up in the rapture as a faithful servant? You can only you can analyze that. And I want you to be considered a faithful servant. I want you to stand before Jesus Christ and not be ashamed. The Bible warns us not to be ashamed before him at his coming. And I don't want anyone here to be ashamed. I don't want that day to take you by accident. Or not by accident, but by surprise. But as we close, let's just pretend 45 days. 45 days we'll hear a trumpet. And in a blink of an eye, we will be changed. Caught up. To be with the Lord, to meet him in the air. We won't be the first ones raptured. There's been raptures already in the Old Testament. Partial rapture in the New Testament. But what will that day be like? Could it be 45 days from now? Would that change you to realize we're going to stand before Christ? What would it be like in less than 45 days to see God on the throne? That crystal sea around the throne, that rainbow around the throne, to see God the Father there, to see Jesus Christ, to see the angels, the living creatures, to hear what Paul said was indescribable. 45 days to... Would you be ready? Are you ready? How exciting would it be? Can you even imagine what that would be like? That first moment? Can't imagine. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, the intel part of a sit rep, to look at the enemy, is the most serious part. To understand what the enemy is doing, to see how real it is, to be able to counter what the enemy is doing. But what we have to understand as the church and this sit rep, what the enemy is going to do, we cannot stop. The end times will happen as your word has described them. But what you have promised your faithful church is to keep them from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole earth. We have not been appointed to your wrath, but to salvation. So, Lord, we know before your judgment comes, you're going to take your church. But that is a blessing to us. That is something we can hold on to. We can be grateful for. We can be excited. But also, Lord, it's the moment that we can no longer be the church once you take us. We won't be able to witness anymore. We won't be able to share the gospel anymore. And at that moment, we're gone. It's going to be too late to reach those who we know are lost. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword, Lord. It's amazing to think about going home. But it's also a scary thought of who we'll leave behind. So, Lord, I ask you to help us in the next 45 days, or if it's 45 years, let us be found faithful. The faithful servant that is about doing your business, about bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, fulfilling the great commission of making disciples. Let us be about that. Amongst the lives that we're living, the jobs we're doing, the schools we're attending, let us still be about your business. Please use us in that way, Lord. And let us continue to focus on your promises, where we can hold on to the beautiful imagery, the thoughts, the excitement of being taken home and standing before you, seeing you, whom we have believed, but we have never seen. But we believe, Lord. And then the Bible says, blessed are those who have never seen who believe. And that is us, Lord. But one day we will see you. We will see you. And we can only imagine how amazing that's going to be. But Lord, help us to hold on to that. Because that motivates us. That'll keep us excited. It'll keep us focused on what we're supposed to be doing here, waiting for your return. Lord, I ask you to help us understand this. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, guys, let's finish with that. I can only imagine what it'll be like to stand before Christ, to see him. Let's play.
is forever. Forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Oh, beautiful song, beautiful imagery. I hope it is for you. I do believe they are incorrect in their interpretation of Scripture. But it's interesting. But again, do yourself a favor. Go with it that we have 45 days. And if Christ doesn't come back in 45 days, okay, it's another 45 days. But if you keep in that mindset of His imminent return for us, it will help you see and will help you share the gospel with people. Let's break out of here, Team Jesus, on the count of three. One, two, three, break. Let's go.